is, if you are looking on YouTube for this, this is the epic patty cake song. I think the name is actually pretty epic. You know, I've never combined patty cake and epic in one sentence before. I mean, that's just not done. But I mean, I thought that was a pretty cool little thing. But it shows, actually, I think is a wonderful lesson about how important it is that we all work together, that we all are in a community together. And so I really want to start this morning with a really important question, and that is, how important, or maybe better said, is community necessary to live the Christian life? Is community necessary to live the Christian life? Now, as you might guess, and it's probably not going to surprise anybody, that, you know, my answer might be, well, yes, because after all, I'm a pastor. And so, you know, community has come to mean, and at least in recent days, community has kind of come to mean that when we come to church, we're in community. And so, you know, it's kind of that code word for going to church. And we say, you know, you need to be in community with somebody. And what we really mean is, you need to go to church. The fact that you're here this morning, by the way, check. You know, it's kind of like, I got it. I got that one nailed. Whew, glad I wasn't missing today, you know. So you get to all go tell anybody who happens not to be here today, hey, I got this one right, you know. So, but the truth is the second question is really more important. And that is, what does it mean to really be in community? What is that? What does it mean to live with one another as the body of Christ? Does that really just mean to come to church? And, you know, here my answers might surprise you a bit, whereas you probably weren't surprised that I am pro coming to church. I think that's a good thing. But the answers to that second question might actually surprise you a little bit. For one thing, coming to church isn't the goal. Now, that really, there you go. Okay, everybody, that woke you up if it didn't, if nothing else had. Going to church is not the goal. And it doesn't mean you're in community. Coming to church does not put you into community. And the truth is, you don't need church to become a Christian. Can't believe you just said that. Becoming a follower of Jesus is about encountering Him. And the truth is, you can encounter Him anywhere. You know, the people who say, well, I can encounter God much better out in nature than I can inside of a church. Well, you know, if we're talking about that first encounter in terms of coming to Christ, you may actually be right, at least in terms of the view. Now, I happen to think that our sanctuary is beautiful and the windows are fabulous, and if you don't, you know, the sun streaming through today, if that doesn't help you encounter Christ, I, you know, wow, that's tough. But the truth is, you know, maybe on a mountaintop somewhere or on the ocean, the side of the ocean, the beach somewhere, you can look at that beauty and say, man, there must be a God whenever I look at this. And encountering Him, that may be true. But that still doesn't answer the question. What does it mean to live in community? And is community really so important in living as a Christian? I'm not talking about coming to Christ, but I'm talking about living as a follower of Christ. I want us to look at this morning at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, a familiar passage. And in fact, if you're going to talk about this topic, it's really almost impossible to get past this particular passage in the Bible. But I think the surprising things here are not the things that we might think. So Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 begins, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through that curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, what I want to do in this particular passage is I actually want to take the bookends, the first and the end, talk about that a little, and then talk about the surprise in the middle. Because I think we need a context in terms of looking at this middle, and I think we find that at the very beginning of this passage and at the end of this passage, but then fleshes itself out in the middle. So the first bookend is at the beginning, where the writer says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God." And what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say is everything has changed. The context of this is talking about the temple. That's the context. Whenever he talks about the holy places, when he says that Jesus has now given us access to this holy place through his flesh, what he's really doing is he is giving us a picture of the temple that was the place in which you met God. This was the place, if you wanted to go in, the holy places were the places where God was seen to be present. Now, the truth is that in these days leading up before Jesus, in these days, only one person could go into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And they would actually tie a rope, because if you were not in the situation where you should be as a high priest, holiness, or if you did something wrong, the feeling was is there was always the potential that God would essentially strike you dead. Not really a motivation to become high priest. And so what they would do is they would literally tie a rope around your waist, because if you died, nobody could come get you. And so if after a while the rope kind of went slack, they would pull you out so that they could get you out of this Holy of Holies. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, there was this huge, heavy curtain that was blocking off access to the Holy of Holies. That curtain ripped from top to bottom when Jesus was on the cross. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, we have been given access, every single one of us who live in relationship with God, have access to God. We have access to the holy places. We have access to him. Our fellowship with God is not prevented by anything. We have freedom to come to him. We have freedom to be in relationship with him. We have this relationship personally, not through anyone. We have the opportunity to encounter him as individuals. We don't need any holy high priest except for Jesus. So the foundation of everything we do in community is him. He is our foundation. Our foundation is that every single one of us have entered into the holy place. That is, we've entered into relationship. Our relationship with one another is based on our relationship with Christ. That's, by the way, this is an aside. That's why in our church we choose to baptize those who have made that decision personally. We dedicate babies. It's a wonderful thing to dedicate babies and their families to Christ, that we will walk with them. But at some point, our prayer is that Nathan makes a personal decision to walk into that holy place. That is, to walk and to be in relationship with Christ Himself. So we found everything about our community is based on our relationship with Christ. But then he closes this passage by saying in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, these words that say, not neglecting to meet together, it's kind of an innocuous statement. It's kind of one of those things, what does that really mean? And I will confess to you that some preachers and pastors might have used that to say, you need to be in church every single Sunday. Otherwise, God's going to get you. It's not what the passage is saying. You know what this passage, these words are? It's the same exact words that Jesus used when he was on the cross and said, my God, why have you abandoned me? This is not saying, don't go on vacation because you might miss a Sunday of church. What it is saying is, why have you abandoned the fellowship, the community of God? Why have you abandoned that? Do not abandon it. Don't allow yourself to withdraw from that community, which is essential not only for you, but for others. And here's the message, and here's where we begin to get into the surprise of this. He is saying, do not abandon the community of God because there are people who need you. Did you hear what he said? He says, not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. We do not have a faith that is an individualistic faith. Our faith is about community. It is about you have a role to play. I have a role to play. Each of us have a role to play in encouraging one another. And it says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. And here's the truth. Every single day, that day draws nearer, regardless of when it comes, when Jesus will come again. And he's saying, do not abandon that. There's the idea of that, in that, of taking it so lightly that it can be lightly left to the side. Community is important. So what is community? Whenever we talk about community, what is community? Best definition I could come up with is Christian community is joining alongside other believers in life's journey. It is to voluntarily allow other followers of Christ access to our lives with all of its joys and challenges. It is the place in which God manifests his life-giving power and hope to human beings in the world in which we live. By the way, that last sentence comes from Joseph Hellerman, whose book, When Church Was a Family, is a wonderful book on this subject. So if you're looking for more, that's a good place to start. It is joining alongside of other believers on the journey. That simply means we don't live life alone. That's never been the design. The design has always been that we do this together. And when we do this together, there are things that we accomplish that cannot be accomplished otherwise. And here's where the surprise comes. First, we draw near to God. When we live in community, we draw near to God. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We draw near to God when we live in community. Have you ever felt like God was far from you? Now, when we feel that way, what's one of the first things that we tend to do? We tend to abandon community. We tend to drift away. We tend to back away. We tend to leave it out because that's the enemy's plan. Because the truth is that when we are close, when we are in community, when we are walking alongside of each other, that encourages us in our faith. We actually draw close to God through the community that He has created around us. And when one of us is weak, the other is strong. We lift one another. We help one another to draw close to God, to draw close to Him, and to live close to Him. And whenever we abandon that community, it simply is another thing. It takes the heart out of our faith. Community, living with one another in community, is a part of what gives us assurance. Did you hear what verse 22 says? It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." And when we do not live, when we allow this community that God says is so important, when we allow that to simply be something that we can give or take depending on our mood, then we will not have that assurance of faith, because we're designed to live in community. But the second thing is that it will help us, community will help us hold unswervingly onto the hope that we profess. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." And whenever we live this life in community, what we find is, again, that the hope that the other person has will lift us in our darkest hours. It will be a light to us whenever we go through darkness. Are you in a time of hopelessness? Hold fast to the community. Don't abandon community. Because God uses the time that we walk together to encourage us and to lift us and to help us to hold on to hope in the most hopeless of days. And then the third thing, maybe just the most important. Living in community will help us to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And look at verse 24. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Stir up. Now, if you've been, I love our life groups. And let me just encourage you, if you're not involved in a life group, find one or start one. We'll help you start one. We're going to be starting a Spanish language life group soon. I'm so excited about that. But, you know, even if you don't speak Spanish, there's a life group for you. You know, if you do, there's one for you. If you don't, there's another life group. And we'd like to start more. But life groups I've attended some of these life groups, and the fun thing is watching how they stir one another up. They ask the hard questions. They encourage one another. They ask about what does it mean to live in this particular situation, and how do I live out my faith in this hard situation. They stir one another towards love and good deeds. And that's community. That's what it means. Here's the truth. We need you, because that's how God has created us and you. We need one another to live the way God has called us to live. Stendhal, French writer, said, "One can acquire everything in solitude except character." I'll say that one again. One can acquire everything in solitude except character. How is our character? It is shaped by community. Susan and I, many, many years ago, had the opportunity to go to California and see the redwoods. I don't know that you can tell as much by this picture. These trees are incredibly huge. They are ginormous. It's a great word. It doesn't really exist, but it's a great word anyway. Just like inventing words. And these trees, some of these trees are large enough that they have actually built roads through them and cars drive through them and they just continue to stand. It is unbelievable. Now you would think, you look at these trees and you think, those roots, can you imagine how deep those roots go? Here's the truth. They don't. They don't go deep at all. In fact, if you go just a few feet below the surface, you get below the roots. And you think, how in the world would a tree like that stand if its roots don't go deep? They are networked. Their roots intertwine. That's the way redwoods grow, is they always grow in groves, in patches where there are many trees. And these trees, their roots intertwine with one another. And they're actually very shallow. They're right below the surface of the ground. But they are so intertwined with one another that if one threatens to fall, the roots of the trees around it will keep it pulled into place. So that in spite of the strongest storms that may come through those forests, those trees remain strong. You know, as believers, we always talk about growing deep. That's really great. I mean, having deep roots is nothing to be ashamed of. But the truth is, do you want to live through the storms of life? Do you want to come through standing strong? The way you do it is in community, where our roots are intertwined with one another, where we hold one another up whenever there's a struggle, where we help, encourage, where we help give hope, where we encourage one another to good deeds and to love. I think the most terrible thing someone might say is, Pastor, you don't need to worry about me. There's really nobody depending on me. It's not all that necessary. There's nobody who depends on me to help them draw near to God, to hold on to their hope or be spurred on to love and good deeds. You know, there's really, you just don't have to worry. It doesn't matter whether I'm in or out or whatever. Here's what I'd ask you. Why? Why is that? That's not God's design. It's not because he hasn't created you to be that person. In fact, if you would say that about your life, I can guarantee you two things. One, you are exactly the person that God has created to be in community with other people. And you're missing it. But here's the second thing. You're exactly the person someone else needs. And the fact that you're not there means that someone else is having to compensate in other ways for your presence, because your roots around someone else is simply God's plan. It's the way he's designed us and designed you. Why not? Today is the day to change that. Living in community doesn't really take a great deal except being open to allowing other people to walk with you, being open to sharing your life with them and allowing them to share their life with you. There is no better life. There is no other way to walk as a follower of Christ in the way that he desires. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we confess that, Father, sometimes we just want to do it on our own. It seems so much easier. It seems so much less like a risk. Because, Father, the truth is even though I say it's easy, it's really tough. It's really tough to open ourselves to someone else, to admit where we struggle, to give praises where we're strong. But it's not easy. Because all of us want to seem like we're independent, can do it on our own. We can trust you. We can walk in the way that you've designed us to walk, and yet we can do it on our own. But the truth is we can't. And so, Father, we come to you. We confess our sin of independence. We confess our sin of trying to live life on our own. And to the degree that we have abandoned the fellowship that you have created us to be a part, may we repent of that and follow you with all of our heart in the place and in the community that you would have us. Thank you, Father, that you have created us this way. And thank you that you've given us a community to live in. May we be obedient to that. We pray this in your name. Going to